said, it's funny to go from serious to funny back to serious. I don't know, Christians, we're pretty bipolar anyways, aren't we? We are. Sometimes we don't know what we're thinking, what we're feeling. We got to laugh hysterically or cry in depression sometimes. But at any rate, it's been a joy to be with you and to share these things and have fellowship and to have fun and to be encouraged in our faith and talk about serious things. Because if we're just coming up here for fun, what's the point? I mean, really, what's the point? You can get that anyway. You know, the reputation of camp isn't about fun. It's about Christ.
Amen.
And Christ, we got to take him seriously all the time, you know? And we got to have fun with it, too. I mean, it's just a good time to have fellowship, and it's precious. So, yeah, we will get a little serious. We'll step away from some of that and get back into being determined to know nothing else but Jesus Christ and him crucified. But brothers and sisters, didn't your heart burn?
Yes.
This morning?
Amen.
Didn't it just burn when you just came together to break bread? You know that precious passage in Luke 24 where those two on the Emmaus Road, the Lord just drew near to him, and eventually he made it as though he would go further. And then they constrained him, and they grabbed hold of him, and brought him into their home. And then their eyes were opened when he broke bread. Their eyes were opened. I love that picture. Mm-hmm. Their eyes were opened. And then he vanished. Mm-hmm. That bothers me. Where'd you go, Lord Jesus? Why'd you do that? Why'd you just walk along this road and they didn't even know it was you, and then right when they realized it was you, you left? Why'd you do that? I don't know about you, but sometimes I experience that. Just at that moment, I get a glimpse of his glory, and it's a wonder, and then we end the meeting. Then we end the meeting. And it's like vanished. You know? The hymn says, too soon we rise, the symbols disappear.
Amen.
Too soon. And I would suggest to you, brothers and sisters, that if our pattern is only for an hour to do this, maybe you should give a little liberty to the clock. Seriously. Because I'll tell you honestly, I saw some young brothers that were ready and willing to get up and share, but you know what? Too soon. We looked at the clock and said, oh, we got a schedule to keep. When the Lord Jesus is here, we shouldn't end too soon.
Right.
We're at Camp Lila Live. We're away from the world. We're not looking at our phones. We're not looking at the TV.
Right.
We're here to be focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. Too soon, brothers. Not just 1 hour. Not just 1 hour. So what did they do? What did those two do when their hearts burned within them? They got so excited that they had to go up to the disciples and just explain what happened. They had to go and share what they saw. They had to go. And you'll know that as they went and they went to try to explain their experience, Jesus Christ just showed up in the midst of them. And that's just like Jesus. He just shows up when he wants. And he manifests his presence unto his people. Sometimes he vanishes. Doesn't mean he never left or forsaken. But he gives us a glimpse. And he does it again. And he vanishes. Yeah, I love that about Jesus. Keeps you on your toes. Keeps you on your toes. Let's pray real quick. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the time this morning to break bread and to be gathered unto your Son, and to simply and only be focused on him and what he accomplished for us on the cross. And Lord, we would say it wasn't enough. We could have gave you more. Lord, our worship should not be allotted in time or space, or location. We should have a heart of worship every day. every moment, every hour. And Lord, forgive us for trying to just box it into a Sunday morning. Lord, yeah, too soon we rise collectively, but throughout the week we can find ourselves in your presence and looking unto you at any moment. Doesn't take much just to look. And Lord, may that be upon our hearts. And as Lord, as we look into your word now, we just pray that you would open our eyes. And Lord, continue to pray and thankful that your word is sharp. And we just submit ourselves unto your pruning, unto your hand, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So I'm going to keep the theme. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. No theme so affecting to us. No subject so glorious. I'd like to just walk with you through the Word and follow Christ to the cross again. A little continuation from this one. I just want to continue with that disclaimer. It's not an easy path to follow. So let's begin by turning to Matthew 27. Matthew 27 and verse 27. This is after Jesus was wrongly accused and the crowd cried out, "Crucify him." It says, "Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus unto the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him, and they put on the scarlet robe, and when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' And they spit upon him, and they took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him." I would agree with the disciples in John 6:60. But this is a hard saying. Do you agree? Who can hear it? This is a hard thing to take in. It's not easy to read a passage and hear all that Jesus Christ went through. This is a violent, vicious scene, and it's absolutely difficult to look at. And every week we're appalled to remember this. I don't know about you, but it's hard for me. We were at my current job. Some people were unsure of what I do now. I'm sorry, I have had a lot of jobs. but I am a janitor of third shift, so I clean up after people without anybody knowing. I'm just alone all the time in the dark, which is, don't feel bad for me, it's great. But in the course of being there in the school district, we had to go through some training. And one training that we had to go through was stop the bleed training. And it was obviously because so many crazy things are going on in the world and attacks on schools. And you had to be prepared if some sort of gunman or somebody comes in and starts shooting up the place with this huge act of violence that comes across. You have to be prepared as an employee and be certified to stop the bleed. So we're sitting in this group of mostly women, teachers, some male, and the guy that was teaching would have slides. And he cautioned us. He said, Some of these slides are graphic. And, you know, they're like, yeah, whatever. Good slides. Bam, right up on the screen. A huge wound. Gaping wound. And all of a sudden, I'm sitting way in the back. I saw all the women just go. They just turned their face. They just turned their face. Because the scene was so graphic. Not something you want to look at. It affected them. They turned away. Because there was such a gaping wound. We had to stop the bleeding. We had to learn. I would suggest to you that this passage to me sometimes. It affects me. It affects me. He was scourged. He was stripped and he was spit upon. He was crowned with thorns. And they took the reed and they jammed the thorns even harder and they whacked them across the head. That's not a pretty picture. It's not pretty. It makes me want to look away. And you'd be a robot if it didn't affect you. You'd be a robot. It affects us. It affects us emotionally, doesn't it? Seeing such an act of violence on a human being, that would affect us. But this is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is Jesus Christ, the perfect one. There's no stop to bleed there. His blood was pouring out. It's hard to look at. Would you want to move further? The disciple says, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? And then they say, let's move further. Let's take another step closer to the cross. Luke 23. Simply just to consider that we're a group of people just following after the Lord for a moment. Luke 23, beginning in verse 27. And there followed him a great company of people and of women which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and weep for your children. Behold, the days are coming in which they shall say, blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck. So here I am following the Lord Jesus. Actually being emotionally affected by what has happened to him. Seeing such wounds, such violence, such viciousness that was brought upon him, and it affects me emotionally, and here I'm walking, we're walking after Christ and just following him to the cross, because we did sing that song, Lead Me to Calvary, didn't we? Oh, we sang so many songs that talked about the crucified one. And here we go, we're walking, Christ is in front of us, and there's an emotional response in our hearts. And then he turns around. And he says, don't weep for me. I don't get that. That's hard for me to hear. What I'm seeing you go through is affecting me. Why should I not weep for you? He said, don't weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. Mm-hmm. What? Here I am following you, and you're telling me not to look at you, but examine myself and examine my kids? What? This is a hard saying, brothers and sisters.
Amen.
This is so hard to hear. He says some really unique things. He says, because there are days that are coming where people will say that you're blessed even though you're barren.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying that you will say that you're blessed even though you're barren. Mm-hmm. We live in these times.
Amen.
We live in these times where we can say that we're blessed even though there's no life in us. Mm-hmm. Being barren means that you're unfruitful. Unfruitful. We can say we're blessed and be barren. They think that they have something when they have nothing. That's the times in which we live. You think of the church of Laodicea. I'm an increased with goods. I'm in need of nothing. I have all that I need. I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed. But they were barren. They thought they were one way when they were... Jesus Christ looked at them a totally different way. What a confrontation with the Lord Jesus Christ. We live in these times. Brothers and sisters, we can sing any song we want. We can sing any new song, we can sing any old song all day long and say we're blessed, even though there's nothing being really produced in our life. We can attend a church meeting or a church camp and pretend. We live in these times. Examine yourself. But it says examine your kids. Weep for them. Weep for yourself. Why weep for my kids? You know why? Because when you teach them to be saved, at 5, they make this great profession, your hearts well up, and you're so thankful, and then 10 or 11 comes around, and you know what 10 or 11 comes around, you know what time it is, right? It's time they finally take the step of obedience into baptism. And you're excited, and they carry on with their life. They go down the road, and they go down the path. They're not producing any fruit in their life. And you try to encourage them and say, the Lord Jesus saved you. You're blessed, but you're barren. There's no life in them. There's no pulse in your kids. Weep for them. That's hard.
Amen.
I don't know how many young people I've seen leave the assemblies. And it's not because of the singing. It's not because of the singing. It's because they were told that they were blessed when they were barren. Another sign of barrenness is in this passage, it means that they're not producing life. There's no life. When was the last time you were a part of seeing a soul saved and be born again in your assembly? Is it pretty common?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we could sing all day long that we're blessed. But where are the souls being saved? Where's the urgency to reach the souls for Christ? Where we can produce real fruit. Where people come out of the darkness and into the marvelous light of who Jesus Christ is. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Don't think that just because you attend Sunday every week that you're blessed, you could be barren. You could be barren. Let's move forward. Let's look at Luke 23, same passage, 39 to 49. Got a young man come up here and read it for me. Any brother? 39 and 41.
Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. So when the centurion saw what had happened, he glorified God, saying, "Certainly, this was a righteous man." And the whole crowd who came together to that sight, seeing what had been done, beat their breasts in return. But all his acquaintances and the women who followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things.
Thank you, brother. Of course, brethren, assemblies and brothers, when they get up and share, I'd like to say, this is a familiar passage, isn't it? It's a familiar passage. And it should be. Should be familiar. To every heart, every mind. You should read it every day if you want. You should go to the cross every day. You should read every gospel account of the cross. Keep your perspective at the cross. Should be familiar. I want to look at this passage and see four groups of people at the cross. And I want you to look close at the distance and how close they were in relation to it and how it affected them. Okay? We'll start with those who are the furthest away from the cross. Number 40, verse 49. And all his acquaintance, the women that followed him from Galilee, stood afar off, beholding these things. They stood afar off. They lived farthest away. You know, it's amazing to me that those who were acquainted with him and followed him in his public ministry, those who knew him the best, were the most familiar with him, were the farthest ones away. That amazes me. Those who were the most familiar with Christ were the farthest ones away. And what does it say that they're doing? They stood afar off. They were at quite a distance away from the cross. And when you're at a distance away from something, you're trying to look, you can't see things very clearly, can you? You just can't. Peter talks to Christians in 1 Peter about barrenness and unfruitfulness. He's talking to Christians. And he ultimately says a lot of the barrenness and unfruitfulness, it says, you cannot see afar off. When you're afar off from the Lord Jesus Christ, there will be barrenness and unfruitfulness in your life. This is a sad but true thing, that those who knew him best were the farthest away from him. It is. And I would have to say that that's a reality even. That's a reality today. Sometimes we find Jesus Christ so familiar. Oh, I know all about the cross. It just rolls right off our tongue and it doesn't even affect us. It doesn't even move us. It's so familiar. We don't draw any closer. I know all about the cross. I know. Those who are most familiar were the farthest away. Let's take another step closer. We'll go to verse 48. And all the people that came together to that site, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. Now, here's a group a little closer. We have a bit clearer vision of what's going on across Calvary, right? A little bit closer. Look what's going on with them, though. As they're beholding this sight, they smote their breast. They smote their breast. These are those who cried out, "Crucify. Crucify." You see, the closer you get to the cross, the more it affects you. The more you realize that you've been a part of what happened right there. The closer you get, the more it affects you. We sing songs like, "I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers." I hear it. They're coming closer to the site. "I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers." Beholding this sight, and it's affecting them on the inside. Just affecting them in the inner man. But look what they do next. What do? They walk away. They return. They only went so far as to be affected, and they left. They went, and they were emotionally affected by what they saw, but they didn't want to go any further. They turned around and returned. Turn, if you would, keep your finger there. Turn, if you would, to Philippians chapter 3. You'll remember that the first message was Paul inspiring the Philippians to have the same mind as him, to do just one thing, to follow Jesus Christ with all of their might, with everything. You'll remember that's what he said. He says, have the same mind in you. Be a follower of me, right? This is what he says. And we'll read verse 17. "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so as you have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now some of you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and who glory in their shame, who mind earthly things." Oh, this is a sharp passage. And as I've chewed on it and as I've meditated on it, I don't believe that this passage is talking about unbelievers. I believe this passage is talking about Christians. Christians that don't have a single mind. Christians that aren't moving forward, but are going backwards. "For many walk, of whom I have told you, and now tell you, weeping." He weeps for these people that aren't moving forward towards Christ. He weeps for them. You know any Christians that just aren't moving forward? When was the last time you wept for them? Weeping for them, because it's a serious thing. This is serious. They're enemies of the cross. I mean, that's harsh words. That's hard. You can't say that from the pulpit. You can't tell another Christian they're an enemy of the cross. What does that mean? That means they're just not willing to go to the cross the way the Lord told us to and die to themselves. They're enemies of it. It's not that they don't have a relationship with God. Look at it. It says whose end is destruction. Wait a minute, that can't be a believer. But then you read something in, like, I think 1 Corinthians, right? Where if somebody builds upon this foundation, hay, wood, and stubble, what happens? It just gets destroyed. all the time that you wasted in your life building upon nothing. There's Christ right here, and you're just building and wouldn't stop. And then on that great day, when you leave this planet, and you go up to glory, and you see the Lord Jesus Christ, destruction from your life, but you'll be saved. Ah. Whose God is their belly? Now, I like this one. It's not that the belly is a God. It means that they have a relationship with God the way they have a relationship with their belly. What do you mean? Well, my relationship with my belly is one that's quite picky. There are just some things I will not eat. There are just some things I'm used to eating, but there are just some things I will not touch, and I will not eat it because of the way it looks or the way it tastes. Oh, these believers, sometimes they just pick and choose what they want to eat out of God's word. I don't like that. I'm not eating that. That's not for me. That's just a tradition. Oh, that's just your preference. No, that's not a preference. That's a commandment. God is your belly. You have a relationship with God like you have with your belly. You pick and choose. This is what the scripture's saying. Who glory in their shining, and who mind earthly things. Oh. Who mind the things of the world. Who mind the things of the world. So they get close enough to the cross. And they turn away. They just get close enough to be affected. Pick and choose what they want to eat. And they just more mind earthly things than spiritual things. Let's move forward. Can we move forward? Let's take another step. Verse 47. And now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. Oh, brothers and sisters, we're getting to the good parts. We're getting to the good parts. Here's a soldier, the closest he can get to the cross. And you know, as I said, the closer you get, the more affection. And the more you realize that you're a part of it. I wonder if that centurion was the one that gave the orders to pound the nails into his hands. I wonder if he was the one that took the hammer and the nail and spiked it into his hands himself. I wonder if the centurion is the one that took the spear and jammed it right up underneath his ribcage. It pierced right into the Lord Jesus' heart, and the blood and the water just fell right on him. Beneath the cross of Jesus.
A fame would take a stand.
Amen. A shadow.
Within a weary rock.
In the weary land. Beneath the cross. Have you ever been there, brothers? Here's this centurion having blood rain down on him. And it affects him so much that he says, and he glorifies God. This was a righteous man. This was a righteous man. Upon the cross of Jesus, my eye at times can see
the very dying form of one who died.
The very dying form of one who suffered there.
And from my smitten heart with tears to wonders I confess.
The wonder of his glorious life.
And my
unworthiness. What a place to be. It's not easy to get there, is it? We have one more step. 43. 41-43. Breaking into the conversation between the criminals and Christ. And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Now, brothers and sisters, this man didn't have a choice. This man didn't have a choice to be on the cross. He deserved to be on the cross because he was a criminal. He was a thief. He stole. He deserved what he was getting. But he wasn't getting any. He couldn't turn around now. He couldn't get off. He couldn't turn back. He had a front row seat to the wonder of the ages. And what he saw changed him. It affected him to the very core of who he is. He looks at him. You didn't do anything wrong to be here. But I deserve death. I deserve what I'm getting. Brothers and sisters, you don't deserve what you got. We deserve the cross. Every single person in this room is a thief. Do you know that? Do you know that about yourself, that you are a thief? Oh, we want to say such encouraging words. Get this encouraged in your mind. You don't deserve what you got. You deserve to be cast in the lake of fire, but by his grace, you criminal. You steal time from the Lord. You steal affections from the Lord that belong to him. You give it to other things. You thief. That's a hard saying. It's hard. But brothers and sisters, when you get to the point where you are crucified next to the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a... Hymn 78. I'm going to botch it. So I need the hymn, of course. Hope of every contrite heart, to the joy of all the meek, to those who fall, how kind thou art, how good to those who seek. But what to those who find? All this, no tongue nor pen can show the love of Jesus, what it is. None but his loved ones know. None but his loved ones know. What to those who find? You find yourself crucified next to the Lord Jesus Christ ever? When he's called you and me to take up our cross daily, to die to ourselves, there's a love that's beyond measure, beyond words, that you can't explain. Paul said, I die daily. What? I die daily? That doesn't sound very nice. That doesn't sound very fun. That doesn't sound like fellowship I want to have. I die daily? I'm sure you guys know this one, Galatians 2:20. Come on.
Are you trying to
do it? I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life that I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself. Oh, we can let it roll off our tongue. We have it memorized. It's in our mind. But is it a true experience, actually in practice in our life, that we die to ourselves every single day? And we're crucified with Christ. Crucified with him. And he's dwelling in us. I think we sit back too much on our armchair and say, Jesus will never leave me and never forsake me. But you never go to the cross and die. You only go so far as to be affected. And you turn around and you get so involved with your earthly cares. You know, you even bypass the Lord Jesus when he says, you need to have burdens and weep for yourself and weep for your kids. Where's the burden? Where's the burden? Brothers and sisters, if you walk to the cross and you die on that cross, I feel that there have been times in my life that I've experienced. Maybe you might disagree with me, but a paradise on earth. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Mm. Today. Mm. Just today, you'll experience the joy and the blessing of just Christ dwelling in you. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross, my Savior made me whole. Yeah, don't turn away from it. Go all the way. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus. 'Tis a heaven of heavens to me. It's a heaven of heavens. And it lifts me up to glory because it lifts me up to thee. Don't be afraid of the cross. Go and die on it. Go and die. The Apostle Paul said, I have determined not to know anything among you. Save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I have no clue where you're at in these 4-point steps to the cross. But I know that I've been in most every step. Decide. Commit. Succeed. It is a joy to share these truths with you. But as I said on Saturday, these are hard. These are hard, Sam. When Christ calls us to die to ourselves, die to our perspectives, die to our priorities, die to our personalities. He wants to infuse you with himself and mold you and make you into himself so that he can get all the glory for himself. And he's worthy of it. He is absolutely worthy of it all. Don't turn around. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back. No turning back. The world behind me. The cross before me. No turning back. No turning back. Let's pray. Actually, Colin, Andrew, and Stephen, we pray in that order.
Father, it's a joy to gather in your name. It's a joy to know that we follow our risen Savior, one that is alive forevermore, one that is in control of all things. Thank you for your Son. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're perfect in all your ways. We thank you for your holiness. We thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace. We thank you for sending your Son, Father, to come to this earth. We thank you that you have sought us as. We thank you that we can say that we are a child of God. And the beautiful truth of that. We thank you that we can refer to you as our Father. And the preciousness of that truth. We thank you for the certain hope that we have, Father, of your Son's return. And that our hope is secure in your Son. And that you have filled us with your Spirit, you have sealed us with your Spirit, who is our guarantee of that hope. But Father, until your Son comes, Father, and may we listen to your Spirit's leading in our lives. Not just in this moment at camp, but Father, every moment of every day. You're always speaking to us, you're always leading us, always guiding us. But as Aaron mentioned, Father, we're so quick to turn away. We're so quick to act selfishly and do what we think is best. Father, it's so easy for us to leave unchanged. And may that not be so, Father. Give us the burdens, Father. Father, break our hearts for what breaks yours. Give us an urgency to be the light in this world that you've called us to be. And Father, your Son said that they will know that we are his disciples by our love. Father, may this, your love flow through us. Thank you so much that, as we read earlier on, that you love us with the same love that you love your Son. How precious that is. We give thanks for who you are and your love for us in your Son's name. Amen.
Lord, we continue before you just again. Thank you so much for your Son, the Lord Jesus. We just thank you for what he endured. We thank you that he thought it worth it for the joy that was set before him. Lord, we thank you that you consider it joy to have endured that for us. And Lord, we just look to you as our hope, and we're so thankful that our hope is in you. We just pray, Lord, that in the certainty, in the light and certainty of our eternal destiny, that we would have a burden for the lost. We would have a burden to make disciples, as you have told us. Lord, that we would, that our hearts would be softened to allow your word to take its deep root in our hearts and to allow your word to bear fruit in our lives. We pray, Lord, that we would yield to you, that we would yield to you as the vine, and we are the branches, Lord, we pray. Lord, we pray that we would look to you, look to Christ crucified as it were, and that we would make a conscious effort to dissolve in our hearts, not to be defiled by the world, but to be crucified with Christ. Lord, we just pray and ask for your help in doing this. We pray that we might just be set apart for you in our conduct, yes, but also our love. We pray that your love would pour through us and be a shining example to the world around us, especially our ministry in Niagara. We pray for this, Lord. We love you. We just give you our all. In your Son's precious name. Amen.
Heavenly Father, again, thank you for giving us your Son. And Father, these are heard sayings that we've heard.
Right.
To consider our Lord.
treated as such by sinful men. And Father, as those who you called, to see him like that pains us, but Father, to think of you looking down as your son, your only son whom you loved, crucified by the very ones you were seeking to save, you were seeking to reconcile to yourself. Father, I don't understand. But I thank you for that great love. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you were willing in perfect obedience to your Father to go to that cross, to pay the price for our sin, for our forgiveness. Lord, we sing sometimes, draw me close to you and never let me go, and so you have. Lord Jesus, help us to never let you go. Help us to cling to you in all things that we do. Help us to love you more. Help us to love you as you have loved us, as the Father has loved you.